Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody is having a great start to their day. TD, what's going on?
Man, I tell you what, I'm feeling good, man.
I love it.
Went for a nice long walk this morning instead of working out, listened to some motivational music. And speech, and read a little bit of my book. Life is good.
It's a great start to the day, and you know, the weather has come back around. It makes you appreciate the 65, 70 degree days more when you get the 30 degree day on Monday.
Yes.
With the snow flurries in November. So
perspective.
Great start to the day. We've got a fun show planned for you. Plenty of Titans talk. Andrew Allegretta going to join at 10:30 today. We're going to talk Vandy football, their win over Auburn last weekend, heading into the bye week, where they will have plenty of games to keep their eye on for their college football playoff hopes. But TD, Titans back from the bye week, practice for the first time yesterday, and it looks like at least some of the injured players going to come back. Calvin Ridley was limited in practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons didn't practice, but the way he's talked about and posted on social media the last couple weeks, I think he's going to be back too. So it could be a nice boost for this Titans team coming out of the bye week to get some of their key veteran players back.
Yeah, it could be a very nice boost. And you also got to mention Arden Key, who practice as well. And, you know, he was dealing with the injury. I think it was a quad that he's been dealing with. So to see him come out and talk to him after practice, he was talking about how he misses Draymond Jones and was looking forward to working in tandem with him. But now he's looking forward to getting to do some of the things that Draymond Jones was doing in tandem with Jahi Ward. So it's going to be fun to watch that.
Yeah, it is funny to look at the Titans pass rush, which was considered probably the weak point of the team heading into the year. And they're putting up numbers despite not having their whole group together at the same point at any time. Like, has there been a time this year where they've run out Draymond Jones, T'Vondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, and Arden Key outside of maybe week
first
one against
games,
the Broncos?
Yeah, that's about it.
Because T'Vondre Sweat went on IR after week two, and he didn't play in week two. So, yeah, it's been the Titans have not been able to put out that full healthy group of pass rushers and still have found a way to put up 22 sacks through their first nine games. The Titans, 1-8, currently in line for the number one overall pick. It was a nice bye week for the Titans.
Yeah, they got the W, right? They won.
They got about as much help as you could possibly ask for, which I said it earlier this week. If you're looking for the happy medium as a Titans fan between rooting for your team to lose and rooting for your team to win, root for your team to win when they're on the field for 3 hours. So root for the Titans, but root for all of the other teams in contention for the number one pick to win also.
That's
and
fair.
You can still end up getting the number one pick with three wins. We saw it last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fair way to look at it. You know what I mean? You never want to root for your team to lose.
Right.
But as you said, you got to root against the Saints, root against the Jets.
No, you root for them. You want them to win as many games as possible.
For them, yeah. Against who's playing them. You want to root
right.
for them. Yeah, exactly.
I have a friend who's a big Jets fan, and he wants them to go full-on tank mode. And so I was just texting him during the game on Sunday, J-E-T-S, every time they scored when they got those back-to-back return touchdowns.
You and Fireman Ed, huh?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. As always, at 10 a.m., we'll get to your questions for TD, so make sure you get those in on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, there's low expectations for this Titans team the rest of the way. I think, honestly, there may be expectations that this team may not win another game. But this week, a chance to reset, especially for some of these young guys. Rookie years are tough for these players because it's not like you get a break. You end your college season and go right into draft prep. You get drafted. That goes right into OTAs. You get maybe a couple weeks off, and then it's training camp, and you go.
Yeah,
it's like drinking through a fire hose until you get this bye week and maybe can take a step back. Could we see some of the young guys, Cam Ward the most notable, but maybe Chim Dike, Gunnar Helm, Elik Iemanner, who is – maybe hit a little bit of a wall the last couple of weeks, maybe take a step forward after getting a week to reset?
Well, I tell you what, and Mike McCoy, he spoke about it briefly, just as far as like all the running that Iemanner does and how they log it and stuff. So I think this break was good for him. If I was him, I would definitely – you can't stay completely off your feet because you got to stay in shape, but I would definitely have taken it easy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think – that's something that will help him be fresh during the remainder of the season. I think when you look at Chim DK, it's just he's so funny story. Back in college, because I was always like keep going and keep going and keep going.
Yeah,
they used to say, man, he's like a John Deere tractor, and so I'm gonna expand that to Chim DK. He is like a John Deere tractor. And he's just going to keep going. And he shows no signs of wearing down. So I think that's good. Cam Ward, as far as getting to take that step back and look at some things. And when I asked him what he looked at the most yesterday, he said the easy plays.
Yeah.
And that's the key to effective quarterbacking. Yeah, I mean, you want to be able to rip that throw, that 16-yard in breaker just above the linebacker and before the safety. You want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But you also have to be able to take what the defense gives you and consistently move the chains. And that's something that he said he reflected upon a lot.
Yeah, I think the one thing you probably aren't concerned with Cam Ward about is the ability to make the difficult throws, because he's shown that he can make the difficult throws and the flashy ones, the highlight plays. But you're right, it is taking the layups, and he's struggled with that at times, whether it's the decision-making and passing up an open receiver, hunting something further down the field, or, you know, just some accuracy issues on some of those layups that he's had. So it's good to hear that he is focusing in on that, because you look at the Titans offense, the biggest issue is they haven't been able to sustain drives. They are the worst third down team in the NFL by a wide margin. And part of that is on third downs being able to make plays and move the sticks, but it's also been when they give him chances on first and second downs to get you into a manageable third down, he hasn't been taking advantage of those enough.
That's the point right there. And that's something I focused on in my story that I posted yesterday in regards to taking that check down. A, it keeps you upright. B, it gets the ball out of your hands and into the playmaker's hands, who are better with the ball than you are as far as running with it. And C, it gets you in that third and manageable.
Yeah.
You get 6 yards or 4 yards instead of nothing. You know, so it's definitely a better thing to do.
Yeah, 28% on third down for the Titans this year. I believe Corey and I were looking yesterday. I think the next closest team is 35%. So the Titans, not even close to number 31 when it comes to third down conversion rate. And you're not going to be able to stay on the field and sustain these drives if you can't move the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, we've seen, they're not going to be all that aggressive on fourth down either. And going forward, seeing if they can make some play. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you can't convert third downs, are fourth downs going to be much better?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But, you know, to your point, though, about converting third downs and extending drives, that's something that Chig Okonkwo talked about, you know, just as far as more opportunities. And then everybody could eat. Right, when you have limited opportunities, when you have a little smaller pie to slice up, there's less pieces for everybody. So that's something else to consider.
Yeah, the Titans, their offense has been the worst in football, especially in the passing game. You get this bye week, and you want to see some strides taken, especially from the young quarterback who has underwhelmed through the first 9 games. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, your chance to talk to TD is coming up at 10 o'clock, so get your questions in on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football going to join us at 10:30. We'll look back on Vanderbilt's overtime win over Auburn and look ahead to the final 2 games of the season. Commodores hosting Kentucky next week, and then the one that we've all been looking forward to, Vanderbilt and Tennessee, coming up in a few weeks from Neyland Stadium. We are off and running on this Thursday morning with Teron Davenport. Coming up next, I want to get into the rest of the Titans offense. What could it look like the rest of the year? We talked about some of the young guys, Chim DK, the John Deere tractor. We've gone from the Honda Accord and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to the John Deere tractor.
John Deere.
Chim DK. But also with Calvin Ridley coming back, how much of a factor is he going to be, and do you still look for the youth movement to continue with these rookies and some of the younger pieces on the Titans offense? We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Western Kentucky this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Parker said he was coming in hot this morning.
Yeah. This right here, woo-wee. You want to see some blood boil or feel some blood boil? Parker hit it. He said he was setting the tone.
He did. He said he was setting the tone. Well done.
I'm ready to get some push-ups.
We did. Something. We got a text yesterday, and I'm forgetting who it was, but somebody said TD Thursday music is better than the Wednesday music with Corey. We go throwback on Wednesday with Corey. So
I don't think they're wrong.
Parker does bring out his best stuff when
same producer, but different production.
Talking Titans here in this first hour. The Titans offense may get a boost. Calvin Ridley coming back after he's missed the last few weeks with a hamstring injury. And I know that the young guys, you want to see them get as many reps as possible. And Calvin Ridley has not had a good season this year. Too many drops, been inconsistent, and of course has been injured lately. But I think it is important for Cam Ward to get a guy out there who he can, first off, take away attention from some of the younger guys and get more one-on-one matchups for guys like Alec Iamanner and Chim Dike. But also, Calvin Ridley, despite some of the inconsistencies dropping the ball, he is a veteran wide receiver who is proven, and that's something that Cam Ward really hasn't had while he's been out. I mean, Tyler Lockett's gone. He wasn't much of a factor even when he was here. Van Jefferson is a fine backup wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But you get yourself a top-line veteran receiver who can be your number one guy.
Yeah, Ridley could be the number one guy. The key thing for him, and it's interesting because you hate to say this about a veteran, but consistency. And I think for him, the main thing is like getting out of his own mind and getting back into the swing of things. And that's something that, look, it should happen gradually. But me personally, I wouldn't be – in a rush to have all the targets go his way. I think
I agree.
You have to keep Iamanner involved. And Chim Dike is just a big play waiting to happen. So you got to continue to take your shots to him when those are available. Actually, Whiteboard Wednesday this week is a play action with him on a wheel route and Iamanner on a post. And, yeah, that's an example of how you could work this play action, which has worked a lot better for them as well. And don't forget about that tight end.
Yeah.
8-4.
Gunnar Helm, I think that is the one thing I want to see more in the second half of the season is give me more 84.
Yeah.
Like, Gunnar Helm.
Give me more 84.
Yeah, there we go.
I like it.
Quick tangent. Did you see Scott Boras yesterday talking about Tarek Skubal?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the alliteration.
Yeah, he was saying
with Pete Alonso.
Oh, he did that about Pete Alonso too.
Yeah,
he was saying yesterday. He's like, Tigers fans want to build a Tarek Barrack, and Little Caesar is walking around Detroit yelling "Sai Sai." I'm like, why are we going into Dr. Seuss mode as the mega agent in the MLB?
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. Well, you know what? I tell you. These are two teams could end up doing some business, man. They could end up doing some business because
if Nolan McClain's not included, it's not happening.
I
would think so.
Nah, Nolan McClain won't be included, but Jonah Tong, David Peterson, Jet Williams, maybe a guy like what's the third baseman? His name just complete. Brandon Sproat is another pitcher. The first baseman rather.
Brett Beatty.
No, not Beatty. He's in the system now. It's going to come back to me. I'll give it to you.
I do think the Tigers are going to trade Tarek Skubal, which is tough. But if they're not going to pay him and Scott Boras is intent on taking him to free agency, you got to get what you can for him. So, anyway, back to football. I want more 84. Give me more Gunnar Helm the rest of the way. He has gotten limited opportunities. I think it started to grow as we've gotten through the season. But I like Chig Okonkwo, but Chig is a impending free agent. You don't know if he's going to be coming back. I wouldn't hate bringing him back, but I want to see what Gunnar Helm can do. I think he should be getting the lion's share of the snaps at tight end the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I asked, Cam when he said that, he's like, hey, more 12 personnel. And it's funny because I went back and looked at the targets, and looked at the converting of the targets. I'm like, hey, man, this is a guy you got to go to. So I asked Mike McCoy, one target against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Is this a guy, what can you do to get him? He was like, well, I like completions. I'm like, dude, 25 targets, 20 completions. If you like completions, like Gunnar Helm.
Throw it to
get
Gunnar
him
Helm.
The football. You know what I mean? And he did acknowledge that there were some times where they had plays called. And this happens. And it happens, right? You have a play called for a guy and something happens to sweep it away and you got to go elsewhere. So that is something to consider. But I would try to manufacture more ways to get him the football.
I agree. I think he deserves more opportunities. I mean, the catch against the Colts, I know it was late in the game and it was a good throw from Cam Ward, but it just the late hands up and grabbing grabbing it on the sideline. He has shown me enough that I think he deserves to get more snaps the rest of the way. You talked about not giving Calvin Ridley all of the targets and continuing to spread the ball around. I do think something that could be important for Calvin Ridley, at least on Sunday if he comes back, is get him involved early, because Calvin Ridley, I think, is he is one of those types of players where if he doesn't get a target in the first quarter, he's probably not going to have a very good game.
And that's a lot of receivers. Also.
Right. I mean, look at what's going on with A.J. Brown right now in Philly.
Yeah. But that was good to call out the offense, because they do need to play better.
No, they do. They do. But it is definitely not a good situation.
Yeah.
As he said, family and everything going all right? Everything else? No. Where have you been? But Calvin Ridley is one of those players where if you get him involved early, he can really get into a rhythm for you. I'm not saying that you force feed him the ball, but draw up a couple of plays on the first drive or two to get him involved, get the ball in his hands, and that usually makes Calvin Ridley better. You saw the Broncos game at the beginning of the year. They didn't really throw him the ball very much early on, and then he dropped everything thrown his way late. Yeah.
And that's what Mr. Calvin wore, man. He looked like he ate a bad sandwich, boy.
I mean, he
the way he leaned on that railing.
He had a visceral reaction to that drop.
Hilarious, man.
Still one of the best visuals of the year. Because that is how every Titans fan felt in that moment.
Absolutely,
when Cam Ward throws a dart that just ricochets off his hands. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It was Wes from Hermitage who said that TD music selection better than Corey on Wednesday. He texted out again this morning, so there we go. He says,
Appreciate
hey, TD,
you.
I'll trade you a pair of my daughter's long-stitched socks for a copy of your playlist.
Hey, listen, you don't need to give me anything. I don't want to take away from anybody's daughters. Shoot me a DM with your information, and I'll send you a playlist. And shoot me, like, what type of time you on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Are you on to turn on the lights? I got something for that. Are you on to get hype? I got something for that. Are you on to mental feel good? Got something for that, too. If it's a mood, I got music for it.
I think that's a very good point, because even even when Parker is bringing us in and out of breaks, it's always a different vibe. It's not all the same. So Wes from Hermitage, reach out to TD. Dustin from Hopkinsville said that Dreams and Nightmares was a bit too much for him at 9:16 a.m. on a
Hey,
Thursday.
Listen, it's never too early to get hype. It's never. Crazy story about that song. They played that before the Super Bowl.
Right, the Nick Foles one. Right?
Malcolm Jenkins came running out, so they're winning. And then in the locker room, they played, and it was so funny. And I'm sorry to get off, but I like to tell a story. And it was so funny. Like, they played in the locker room. Jeffrey Lurie, was the team owner, was in the locker room, right? And he was talking to Michael Kendricks, the linebacker. And the song came on, and all of a sudden, like, the beat dropped, and Michael Kendricks just started grabbing everything and throwing it at Jeffrey Lurie, just like, looking like, oh my God. You got Lane Johnson smoking a Cuban cigar. That was a moment, man. So every time that song, thank you, Parker,
because
you gave my skin goosebumps, because every time that song comes on, I think back to that moment. It was awesome.
Was it Dustin that texted that?
It was too early? Yeah, Dustin from Hopkinsville texted that.
Hey, it's time to wake up. Got to set the tone for the day.
Right, that's exactly. Right. It's Thursday. It's not Monday. We're off and running. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, thanks for calling. What you got for us this morning?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good morning. Doing awesome.
Morning.
How are you?
Good morning, TD.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and that, you know, I've met a lot of famous people in my life, you know, through the years. Real, real famous people, brands, you know what I'm saying? And my thing of it is that everything that they told me, I try to iterate and speak out on. And I'm just going to say it. You know what I'm saying? If we have to develop somebody to be able to go in there and win a football game or get a first down without making the ball, you know, dropping the ball in the backfield, you know, why are we talking about development?
Development is an ongoing thing. Like Trey, I'm sure you're a very seasoned man, but I would like to believe that there are areas where you could develop as a person, right? And so just the same with Cam Ward,
You have to learn, but you have to be mentally strong to be able to develop.
True, true. But who's to say that he's not mentally strong?
I'm just saying the record speaks for itself. And then everybody's on the internet saying that he's going to have the worst record as far as a rookie in NFL history.
Well, I mean, there's a guy named Troy Aikman who, if I'm not mistaken, they only won one game. And I'm not saying Cam's going to beat Troy Aikman. And you know that's not what I'm saying. That's not for you. That's for everybody else listening. But
Kitty, I love you, Deb. You've been around him. What is it about him that you think can be that he could develop in or be better in? You know him better than I do. You probably got him on speed dial. How can this man be better?
Well, I think you mentioned it, right? One of the major areas, and that's the ball security. I think you look at the ability to take what's there, like as be a more efficient passer. I think you have to also look at just believing what he's seeing and ripping it at the same time. Those to me are the three big ones. But I mean, let's call a spade, this situation, mm-hmm. and he hasn't been good. I'm not excusing it at all. But this situation hasn't been good either. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. It's been bad. They haven't gave him the people that he needs to be a better person and a better player. I understand that. I just want him to get better. I'm not going to rip on him and stuff like that because, I am seasoned. I've been around the world. I've done a lot of good things in my life.
My man.
Just want the young man to get better, bro.
Yeah,
and
no,
I feel
y'all.
Y'all have a good day. Thank you, TD.
Yo, much love, Trey. I appreciate you calling, man.
Thanks for the call, Trey. Yeah, it's I get what he's saying. But every quarterback, every player in NFL history has developed.
Yeah, like, and he's just saying that out of the intense desire and passion for this man to get better.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's really what it is. And guys, people are frustrated, you know, because there's a degree of hope that was put forth despite the expectation being, hey, this team is not going to be good.
Yeah.
But their quarterback going to be a bad you-know-what. And it's not happening all the way. You're
right.
Seeing the flashes. That's the one thing. You're seeing the flashes, but you're also seeing the flashes of, yo,
yeah,
come on, man. What are we doing here?
It hasn't been good enough through nine games, but, again, it's been nine games. It's like you drafted this guy number one overall with the belief that he was going to be your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, not for the first 10 games. Like it's going to take some time. You've got to get better pieces around him. But also, yeah, you have to see more development. And we can get to that coming up next. Cam Ward yesterday, there was a – Jim Wyatt put a clip out there of Cam Ward during individual work, and it went viral for some reason.
It blew up.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
We'll do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you on this Thursday morning here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. This takes me back to, like, freshman year of college.
Yeah.
Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. I'm kind of with Dustin. It might be too early for that one.
No.
It's a party up in here today.
It's a party. Let's go, man.
I may or may not have played that song next.
There we go, 9:45. You're ready for that one.
Get ready.
This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Chiefs and Broncos at 3:25 on 102.5 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. So yesterday, TD, Titans back at practice, and Jim Wyatt, as he always does, put out a video of Cam Ward going through individual work, and for some reason, it went viral. I believe it was Sean McAvoy, the quarterback coach, who basically said it was not a good use of practice time, of a three-yard pass, and Cam Ward kind of walked through his finish.
And nobody talking to him after.
Right. They didn't get on him for walking through his finish. What were your thoughts on that? Because I understand those individual periods are important to work through footwork and mechanics, but it felt like a little bit of an overreaction to take one rep, an 8-second clip of Cam Ward, and basically act like that's all that they're doing for him in the individual period.
Yeah, I mean, look, they do a lot more than this. Actually, somebody asked me if I have anything of him going through the drills at full speed. They do some full speed drills too. There's something that Bo Hardigree that I really like that they do is like they throw bags at him and he has to kind of like sandbags and it's not huge. So that's, before you say it's stupid, It's sandbags. They may be like the size of a half a brick, right? And so they throw that at him, and he has to kind of like avoid it and reset and throw. There's different things you could do. This was – and this is another thing about context. And, you know, a lot of times when I get into this mode, people say, oh, you're excusing. I'm not excusing. I'm just explaining. Right?
Yeah.
You take it for how you want it. But this is literally the first – literally the first thing that they did, right? You got the ball security drill, or disruption drill, period, and then they start individual, and the quarterback's like, this happened right after they ran over to the – this is a part of, like, the loosening up part. You know, like you do a little stretch before you work out?
Right.
This is essentially that.
Yes.
So I get it. It does optically – it looks bad, but there's always – it's just like a small quote from a big statement being pulled and honed in on, and that's what happened.
Here. Yeah, I agree. I think it was taken out of context. It's one clip, but these individual periods are important because it is where Cam Ward can work on the mechanical issues that we've obviously seen. Footwork has been an issue. Some of his release points have been issues that have led to passes getting batted down. I get it, but... you're right. That's kind of how I take it whenever these videos get posted of them going through these drills. It's like, there's times for, you know, the direction of, all right, here's what you need to be doing in this drill. But that felt like it was more of a warm-up. Like, hey, just get your legs going a little bit and make a throw. But with Cam Ward, what do you think is the most important thing for him to develop coming up this week? Because I think... probably his worst game of the season was that game in Houston against the Texans. He was 10 of 26 for 108 yards in that game. And most of those yardage came on the first drive of the game when he made a nice throw to Alec Iyemann down the field.
He ripped it.
Pretty much the rest of that game, he couldn't get much going. What's going to be important for him to improve against a defense that has a ton of talent, two really good corners in Stingley and Lassiter, and then, of course, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are going to be hunting him down off the edge.
Yeah, can't forget my guy Azeez Al-Shaair, too. But
I don't think Cam will forget him after what happened last time.
Right. Here's the deal. I think the biggest thing is just consistency. And I say consistency because it's like all-encompassing. Be more consistent with taking those profit type of plays, the easy plays as he calls them. Be more consistent with your footwork, timing up with the routes.
Yep.
Because then when that happens, you're at the top of your drop. The receiver's where you expect them to be, and you see it, boom, you throw. You know what I mean? Those types of things. Be more consistent with your ball security. And I had mentioned this on Talking with TD. I want to say it was Tampa, right? And there was a period where, you know, Kalyvon Chaisson was closing in on him, right? And it was coming like on his right shoulder. And you saw him suddenly put two hands on the ball, and he put the ball down to his right hip, right? And then two hands on the ball still, moved it up to like eye level, and then two hands still on the ball to his left. And he was doing this as he slid within the pocket, like moved within the pocket, and then he cocked it back and threw it, and it was a completion to Emeka Okafor.
Damn. Emeka Okafor.
Abuka. There's something wrong with my brain with that. There's something wrong.
Emeka,
I don't know what
Abuka.
It is. Yeah, yeah, I always say Emeka Okafor.
Great player.
And like, you saw the windup, and I knew, and I still said it wrong. Emeka Abuka on the deep end breaking
route. Yeah.
But that ball security, or as John Gruden used to always call it, the two-handed monster.
Right.
Do that more consistently, and you won't have those problems as much with that. So consistency is all-encompassing.
Yeah, no, and I think that is the biggest thing for Cam Ward, is finding more consistency, being able to string together quarters instead of drives. It's like we've seen Cam Ward have a good half of football. Mm-hmm. We've seen Cam Ward have a good quarter of football, but he hasn't been able to put together a complete game where you come out of it and say, man, Cam looked really good today. There's been times it was like, hey, Cam Ward had a really good first half, but then, you know, he dropped the football randomly. Or, oh, that pick, yeah, it was deflected, but it was off target. There's been too much of that where he just hasn't been able to leave a game and be like, yeah, Cam, that was a full step in the right direction.
Right.
I'd like to see that this week, especially against a team that he struggled against before, coming off the bye week. show that tangible progress of like, hey, he completed 38% of his passes against this team last time. Go out and complete 70 on Sunday against the Texans. And are they going to win the game? Probably not. But put your team in a position where you're moving the football consistently. You're putting your team in a chance to score points. And if you lose by three, great. But put together a game that you can build off of moving forward.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. Put together that signature game. Or even have a signature moment. You know what I mean? And I think if you look at it, you had to say, I would say probably the throw to Ironman or the touchdown one.
I was going
to
say the Ridley one against the Cardinals.
There's a few in there that you can mix in, but it's just like put together a full quarter.
Yeah.
And build upon that. And I think that's really the main thing.
Yes. And it's tough. You're looking for the good with Cam Ward as he's come through. And there has been good, but in every game, there's also been bad that has kind of canceled it out. Like, you look at the Patriots game. I thought that was one of the better games that he's played. But, of course, everybody's going to remember the ghost Jason, fumble that ended the game, basically. So you have to be able to avoid those catastrophic mistakes and be more consistent as you move forward coming out of the bye week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts for TD, get those in on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, your chance to talk to TD coming up at the top of the hour. Coming up next, the Titans head coaching search moving along, and there is now another opening out there. Wanted to get TD's thoughts on a couple of the rumors going on around guys who could be available, other jobs that could open up, and much more. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Breezy. Huh?
Parker 3-for-3 to start off hour number one.
He said, I could put you on a flight. That's a baller stuff, man.
See, I think this is a better vibe. I couldn't get into the one at 9:30, but
three of these. You got to have diversity.
Looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans and Texans game this Sunday? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks and Old National Bank. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you on this Thursday, wrapping up hour number one. And don't forget, your chance to talk to TD is coming up in 15 minutes, so you can get your questions in on our text line or call in at 615-737-1025. The Titans were the only head coach opening until Monday when the Giants joined them, firing Brian Daboll. And now there's two. Expect there to be a couple of more. I would guess Miami might open. Arizona might open. There's a few other. Cleveland, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I want to get
Green
to
Bay.
That was where I was going.
I don't think so. That would be crazy, but
I was called crazy by the Green Bay fans, including Robbie Stanley, for saying that I didn't think he was coaching for his job the rest of the year. But it does seem like that's the sentiment, that if Matt LaFleur doesn't turn this around pretty quickly, that he might be out. What are your thoughts on a Matt LaFleur reunion here? If he was cut loose, do you think that would be an interesting move for the Titans to go and bring him in?
I think he would probably vault up to the number one.
That's what I think, too.
Because he gives you that mix of everything, right?
Right.
He has the youth. He has the did it before. He has the offensive, you know, he's from that tree. You saw him, Sarah Barship from ESPN, the Rams reporter. She did an awesome story on the play callers that came from McVay,
right,
by way of Kyle Shanahan. Right, and he about the drawlers. But Matt LaFleur was in that. So long story short, he's from that tree that everybody's trying to pick from.
Yeah.
And so that to me would be the number one guy right away if he were to hit the market.
Yeah, what was it? The Washington staff had Shanahan, McVay, and LaFleur on there, and maybe there might have been somebody else.
There were
too.
A few others too. Like if you look at the whole, it was
that
crazy.
Was. I mean, it was obviously Mike Shanahan was the head coach then, and his son Kyle.
Shanahan, really good coach, man. Like in the he was the 94 49ers OC, man, and that 94 49ers team used to roll. And don't forget the Broncos, as good as they were.
Yeah, I mean, technically all of these coaches are his coaching tree. If you want to go back even further. But yes, LaFleur was the offensive coordinator under Sean McVay when they first started over there in LA, then 1 year with the Titans as a play caller, which it wasn't a great year offensively for the Titans, but that was the year Marcus Mariota had the nerve damage in his arm. So it wasn't like there was a whole lot that he could do. And then he goes, obviously, and has become the head coach of the Packers, has taken them to the NFC Championship. I agree. I think if he was let go, he immediately becomes option number one, because he does combine everything that you're looking for of guy who is a leader, head coaching experience, but also can come in and develop your young quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you look at bringing him back here, I think would be good. I just wonder, like, having spent a year in, I don't think in 2018 it was really dysfunctional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he may not have, you know, had to see too much of it.
Right.
But, and I know he and Vrabel are not the, you know, the best of friends. So it wasn't like, you know, they
it's
talked
not,
about
it. Yeah, it's
it,
not
so.
Like he's going to back up his boy Vrabel.
Yeah, or even, yeah, and even just like for them to talk, like, you know how things go.
Right,
man.
Right. Like, of like, oh, you don't want to work for Amy,
yeah,
that
exactly,
kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So that would be intriguing because normally, in my opinion, normally a number one option is someone that I don't think would come here. But I think LaFleur, that's different.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like we talk about Arthur Smith. Obviously, Art was here for a lot longer than Matt LaFleur, but I think LaFleur gives you everything that Arthur Smith gives you, but he's had more success as a head coach in the NFL. Speaking of Vrabel, you see the comments this week?
Which ones? About the not trading and him
well,
saying?
Well, yeah, the me and Amy shouldn't be
in the
talked about in the
yeah.
same sentence.
Hey, listen, that's the Will Smith. Except
keep my, name,
keep,
out
keep
your
my
mouth.
Name out your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fair question by the radio host to ask of like, hey, did you get turned down by the Titans because Amy Adams Drunk is holding a grudge? And I haven't talked to her since she fired me. We should not be mentioning the same sentence.
Out of sight, out of mind.
No, but I agree. I think Matt LaFleur would be an option. Brian Daboll is now out there and not a head coach, not
okay.
as a head coach.
Okay.
But if you brought in a Robert Saleh or one of these defensive head coaches, maybe you pull from the college ranks and go get Marcus Freeman. I know Corey Curtis has said that. Would Brian Daboll maybe be an option as an offensive coordinator who has done a nice job of developing a gunslinger, kind of unpolished guy in Josh Allen, can kind of do the same thing with Cam Ward?
I think that would be good. That would be a good match. But I'm curious because you look at Daboll, he likes to run the quarterback. So I'm curious how that marriage would be. And it comes down to, okay, how stubborn are you as a coach?
Yeah.
Are you able to get away from – because, you know, in Buffalo, man, they ran power. Josh Allen was their running back. It's third and three. Hey, we're running power.
Yep.
QB power. Let's have it. You know what I mean? So I think when you look at that, will he get away from that? Because, look, you saw Jackson Dart concussed. You know what I mean? Because
multiple times.
He was running him like he's yeah. Cam Newton and Josh Allen. You know what I mean? So you got to understand what you're working with and change to that.
Yes. Jackson Dart has been run into the ground already as a rookie, and we'll see if he's able to play this week. If not, it's going to be Jameis Winston out there in New York.
I'm telling you, Jameis should be here.
I know.
He should be here.
He was singing Hamilton in his press conference yesterday.
Yeah, that dude is just, he's pure comedy, man. Like, he's
at the very least, it would have been so much more entertaining. Like, I don't even think I could pick Brandon Allen out of a lineup. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure he is a good voice in that room and, like, whatever. But I don't know what he looks like. I've never heard him speak. I want Jameis Winston here
Brandon
for the
Allen
sound
is
clips.
Good. He's good to talk to for background and stuff like that. Very well understanding of this offense. But, yeah, I mean, Jameis is like
just selfishly, yeah. As someone who talks about the team every day, I would love some Jameis Winston sound bites.
And that's someone you talk about the drills that they do. Not that Jameis would have the coaches doing drills, but, like, you look at the drills that he's done a lot of things on the ball security side of things.
Right.
He's really invested in a two-handed monster. Like, you know, moving within the pocket with two hands on the ball, that could only help, you know, Cam Ward.
I will say, I don't know if Jameis Winston is the, you know, the end-all be-all of ball security, though. 30-30 back in.
Well, yeah. No, we're talking about interceptions.
No,
you know what I mean? And even with that, man, like, Bruce Arians was like, hey, man, rip it. Like, he had the green light of all green lights.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's fair. He put up numbers, and he always has put up numbers.
5,000 yards passing that year.
Was it the Browns Broncos game last year where he threw like six total touchdowns, but two of them were to the wrong team, and he had the please, Lord, deliver me from pick six's line after the game. One of the greatest quotes of all time. Oh, man. Jameis Winston may be getting the start for the New York Giants this week if Jackson Dart can't go. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans back from the bye week. They are getting ready to take on the Houston Texans for the second time this season. Shutout 26-0 in Houston back in week four. We'll see if the Titans offense can take a step forward after the off week. Coming up next, your chance to talk to TD. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Get all of your questions in for Teron Davenport. Doesn't have to be Titans. It can be anything. He's got the Mets gear on today. If you have MLB free agency questions, we'll get to those too. Whatever you got, send them into our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. The Monday Night matchup is the Cowboys and the Raiders. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday morning. Your chance to talk to TD coming up next. You're on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.